nice buns, soft, fluffy, and ultra-low net carbs. Discover Hero Bread, the delicious ultra-low net carb bread with incredible taste and texture. Hero Bread has 0 grams of sugar and is under 100 calories per serving. Plus, high in fiber with 5 to 10 grams of protein per serving. Available on Amazon.com, Walmart.com, and at Hero.co. That's Hero.co. Delicious, ultra-low net-carb Hero Bread buns and tortillas. Soft and fluffy, high in fiber, and with 0 grams of sugar. Up to 10 grams of protein, coming in at under 100 calories. Order today at Hero.co and use the code AH10 to get 10% off your first purchase. That's AH10 at Hero.co. Hero.co. Order from Hero.co now and get 10% off your first purchase with promo code AH10. That's 10% off with code AH10. Hero.co.
Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 29 of the Footmarks podcast. I'm your host, Behram Kazi. You can find me at DefMango on Twitter. And with me, of course, is Jared Kimber. You can find him absolutely everywhere.
This show was brought to you by HCL Tech, leaders in data and technology. And you can see their names right there on the sleeve of the Australian team.
The premise for today, or well, the title for this podcast is Sikandar the Great. Of course, we're going to be talking about Sikandar Raza Bhat, the Zimbabwe superstar. And that's a pun on Alexander the Great. Not many of you might know that Sikandar is Arabic for Alexander. In fact, Jared, when did you find that out?
It must have been. Is it in my piece?
I think it is. But I think I also told you.
Yeah, no, you told me
very
the other day.
On but, in our journey.
I can't remember. Maybe Cheyenne mentioned it to me. When we were doing some research for the pizza, but yeah, I knew a positive. I found out about it while we were looking into this, and you know, I thought it was a cool little intro, so I went with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, he's done justice to his name because he has literally fought like a warrior. Sikandar Raza Bhat has 8 Player of the Match awards for Zimbabwe in 2023. That is the most for any cricketer in international cricket in this calendar year. In the recent Africa T20 qualifiers, he bagged 3 Player of the Match awards in a row. In one of those games, he scored 50 and bagged a hat-trick. How sad is it, Jared, that despite these performances, Zimbabwe have failed to qualify for yet another mega ICC event?
It's incredible that after all these years, they have a player who has finally made it to this level. You know, other than Gary Balance, I suppose. And even Blessing hasn't probably got there consistently yet. They just haven't had anyone like this in a very long time. And then you've got an all-rounder.
Hamilton, maybe? Hamilton was good. Hamilton Masakadza.
Wasn't this level, though. I don't think he was ever at this level. But, I mean, they've had good cricketers, you know. Irvine, Blignaut, you know, over those periods. But no one as consistently, you know, at this level. Taylor's another perfect example. And the fact that he was kind of an accidental cricketer, you know, is certainly a late blooming cricketer, maybe is the best way of putting it. And then on top of that he was an all-rounder, right? And then he remade his all-roundedness later on as well, you know, improved himself as a player. And then they got a really good bowling attack around him. You know, he's got a good spinner's mate in Ryan Burl. They've got the 3 quicks and a 4th quick available to them. They've got the part-time spinners as well when they need it. Like, they've got so much talent around him, and yet their batting just can't hold them up enough. They don't win the most important games. They should have qualified for the ODI World Cup, and they fell apart. T20 World Cup, I'm not even sure I would argue they even looked like qualifying for the T20 World Cup. And it's a real shame, because when they were in the World Cup, they actually played really good cricket, and they're almost, I thought if they made the 50 over at World Cup, they were better set up than Netherlands. I thought Netherlands ended up playing outstanding. So maybe I got that wrong, or maybe Zimbabwe would have been even better. I don't know. But there's no doubt for me that we haven't seen the best of them as a team. And it's a real shame. And with that, you know, this is, there's no other way of looking at it, man, it's a shame that they've got this incredible cricketer and they haven't been able to get the most out of him because they haven't put him in the situations when he is at his best, which we saw in that last World Cup when they actually qualified.
Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, in the World Cup that they did qualify, they won the Mr. Bean Derby versus Pakistan. And that was huge for Zimbabwe, right? But the non-qualification heartbreak has been a consistent theme, not just for Zimbabwe, but also in Sikandar's personal journey as a Zimbabwean cricketer, right? He couldn't qualify for the last two editions of the ODI World Cup, got close or agonizingly close on both occasions as well. Is he perhaps one of those players or the best player to not light up the world stage in recent times?
I'm trying to think. I mean, I suppose...
You're thinking about West Indian cricketers,
well,
aren't you?
Certainly. I mean, Nicholas Perrone just missed out on a World Cup, didn't he? So, you know, you would have to say he would be in that conversation. Peak Ali Khan might be another player who was in that conversation. I don't think any of the PNG cricketers, or when they weren't qualifying. Yeah, I would say outside of Nicholas Perrone, it would probably, you know, it's a fair one to have a look at. And in some ways, this is, I know it's not going to sound positive, but it's a positive for the sport to have a team outside the World Cup with a player of his talent. We're not talking about a guy who's a good associate cricketer here, right? We're not talking about a guy who's you know, a decent player for a test playing nation who aren't very good. We're talking about a player who is legitimately an IPL level player, right? Who you know, got opportunities in the highest league that we have and isn't playing in the major tournaments. So, yeah, I mean, Puran blessing himself is probably another one. Hetmeyer when he was not available. So there's a few players, but he's certainly in that top tier.
Hetmeyer when he got a flight, right? So basically, I'm just going to roll back the clock over here, right? With respect to Sikandar's journey, now he, as a kid, dreamed of becoming a fighter pilot, and he was going to become a fighter pilot had an eye test not prevented him from that. He was, of course, living in Pakistan at the time. And then he went on to become a software engineer. So he doesn't really take any easy challenge, right? It's always hard stuff for Sikandar Razza because, of course, software engineering is also a really, really challenging career. And before he started taking cricket seriously, he kind of had life sorted out for him. But then he moves to Zimbabwe, starts playing cricket, and boom, here he is. So, yeah, I'd say he really has lived up to that name, hasn't
he? Yeah, I remember very, very, very early on. It might have even been when I originally did the big article on him. Someone contacted me to say that they played against him when he was a kid, or played with him perhaps even when he was a kid. And they said he just wasn't that special. Like, no one sat there watching him going, this is a guy who's going to go on and you know, be a star cricketer. And I think that's a really, really interesting thing because it's not that often you come across that. Alistair Cook was one off the top of my head. I suppose Azhar Ali might have been another one, although he was still at least a decent leg spinner. But generally, and I can tell you another one, actually, that I know of. I knew some guys who grew up with Paul Harris, and they said a very similar thing about Paul Harris. And generally, the best players are above average talents when they're a young age, and maybe they go off and they struggle a little bit to develop as quickly as they should, or maybe they get to senior cricket and their skills don't translate over as quickly as they would like, or you know, or they're a young man in his 20s and they do some stuff they shouldn't do and ruin their careers a little bit. This was a player who, at every sort of step of the game, has kind of rebuilt himself. And so it's not a natural pathway. As you said, you know, wanted to become a pilot. I remember having this conversation with my family of, like, my uncle kept saying, you know, it's fine. You want to be a writer, you want to be a filmmaker, but you need a backup. You need a backup. And I was like, no, I can't have a backup, because if I have a backup, I'll never do what I want to do. Right. And I think there's a lot of us who feel that way. Sikandar Razza is very different in that he's setting himself up for life outside of cricket routinely while still improving himself in cricket. And the fact that he managed to do that and get to the level that he did, and so late in life, like CS wrote a piece about him where he said that, you know, in 2017, 2018, they were looking at moving on from him. They didn't think he was very good. And I think it was around that period I was working for an agent who wanted me to get him some work. And you could see it, Bayram, like in the, you know, when I dissect a player for an agent, I go really, really deep. Well, more so than even any video, because I am looking for like five nuggets that any coach is going to see and be like, oh, I've got to have this guy on my team, right? And with a lot of those players, if they're coming to me to get that, that means that player, if they're there, they're hidden, right? And so you really have to like crowbar them open. And I saw with him that there was something there. And yet, and I probably sold him in a very, very nice way. There is no way I foresaw a player of having the impact he would at the level he has in the last couple of years. So, yeah, it's a very strange journey to get to where he's going to be. But I suppose you're a Zimbabwean cricketer, you know, you kind of have to have a strange journey now because the development pathway is not as strong over there.
I suppose so. And it's interesting you bring up 2017-18, you know, where he wasn't sought after and even had some troubles with the board. Some NOCs weren't granted. They owed him like 5 months' salaries and a year's worth of match fees. So they were pretty much killing Sikandar Raza Butt financially. So, you know, how the night changes, you've got to admire. And Sikandar Raza Butt was primarily a batter, yeah. Right? But now he's a more than handy bowler. He's also an exceptional fielder. He took this catch in the PSL for the Lahore Qalandars, and I cannot forget that catch. Like, it literally won Lahore that game.
I'll even add to that running between the wickets as well. Like, he really is a completely all-round package.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he bowls with a flatter trajectory, and he has tons of variations. He even has a knuckleball. So he's become this defensive weapon over the years, and he's kept his economy low, and he's taken more wickets than he's ever taken. So with respect to that kind of bowling, you likened him to Sunil Narayan. Talk to me a little bit about that analogy.
So when I first did analysis on him, he was basically an off spinner, and he was good, but he wasn't quite an elite off spinner, which meant that he's always been a more of a 5-6 type of batter. And he's not a star. His batting's improved a lot, but he wasn't always a star 5 or 6 batter. But in the right circumstances, with the right kind of team, he was a very handy off spinner to have in your side. But he didn't really have a frontline skill. And we'll talk about his batting in a little bit. But certainly with his bowling, I think he had like a bone marrow issue, or there was like some kind of injury. It's something really bizarre that he had. And he actually started to change his bowling action a little bit. And I think at that stage, he realized what he needed to do was come up with something that was a bit more full on than off spin. That wasn't going to get him anywhere. And I suppose, and I've never talked to him about this, but I'd love to sit down and chat to him about how he rebuilt his career. But I would assume that he probably tried a carom ball or a dusra or something that went the other way. Couldn't quite master that. And then he looked at Sunil Narayan and he copied him. And I don't know why more people haven't done this. When Sunil Narayan started bowling the knuckleball and hiding it behind his hip, I was like, this could revolutionize cricket. We'd already seen Benny Howe running in like Wasim Akram, but for every ball, hiding the ball so that the batter has less cues in order to pick this made a lot of sense. And for off spinners, it's hard to run in holding the ball in the way that Wasim and Benny Howe do, just because it ruins your balance a little bit and the flow of your arms and everything else. So copying a really good thing and becoming the bargain basement version of Sunil Narayan completely changed his career. And also, when Sunil Narayan did it, it became even more of a defensive bowler because people weren't hitting Sunil Narayan beforehand. He already had the reputation that you couldn't hit him off the square. And so people really dug in. Whereas I think with Sikandar, it took a long while for people even to work out that he was bowling knuckleballs all the time, right? It took a while for that to spread. And so teams kept attacking him. So he didn't go for any runs and he got hit out. And, you know, I've been asked so consistently, what's the one thing you think should have spread more in cricket? And it's the finger spinners bowling the knuckleball. I think every finger spinner in the world should be trying to bowl the knuckleball. And he essentially, I would say he turned himself into more of a knuckleball bowler than an off spinner. It wasn't so much that he doesn't bowl the off spinner anymore, but I would say that his stock ball was the knuckleball with changes of pace occasionally and with off spin and trying some of his off spin tricks. And it's a remarkable transformation from a guy who was, you would bowl him in favorable conditions, I think is probably the fairer way of saying it. But he was a good bowler in favorable conditions. To now, you have someone who is a consistent threat. Maybe not an IPL 4 over a game bowler, but having him as your 6th bowler or as your combined 5th bowler with another good option, it's a real advantage to be able to have. And on top of that, his batting went crazy. Remember that cricket is a funny game. 100 years before we protected our heads, players looked after their groins. So don't be as stupid as old cricketers and protect your computer today. NordVPN is the protection I use when facing cyber shortfalls or when rights issues try to dismiss me. NordVPN will help you get through the straight bat of any geo blocks so you can watch all the cricket you want. If you need your pitch changed, well, NordVPN can doctor any surface to a new location so that your IP address is set up for you to win. Want to buy an associate cricket shirt from a place that won't ship to your country? Select NordVPN. Want to watch a game on a free stream in another hemisphere? NordVPN. Or if you just want to watch a clip on social media that a cricket board won't allow you to, promote NordVPN to pinch it for you. So if you need a VPN, go Nord. Use nordvpn.com/Kimber to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan, plus 4 additional months for free. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the show notes. Protect your computer like a cricketer protects its nether region with NordVPN today.
Looking for a fun way to win 25 times your money this football and basketball season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of stats, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and injury insurance on your picks are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million players who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/play100 and use code play100. That's code play100 at prizepicks.com/play100 for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned how he was a sixth or at best fifth bowling option in franchise cricket. But for Zimbabwe, he's a frontline bowler at times, right? And you also brought up his batting. And I feel like, and you mentioned this as well, that he used to bat, you know, closer to the top. He demoted himself, or someone demoted him, to the middle order. His strike rate has vastly improved. He started taking games on, and that average has gone up astronomically. Like, if you look at the last 2 years, Sikandar Raza Butt's numbers in, you know, limited overs cricket are through the roof. They compare or chalk up to the very best. And do you think that at this point, sure, he's 37 and all, but he's a really, really valuable asset in white ball cricket?
Oh, he's an incredibly valuable asset, that, the combination. So his batting is interesting. Again, he hasn't taught that much about it. I remember I was tweeting about him for about 3 or 4 years, and he would like a lot of the tweets. He's a very online person, but I'm not sure if he likes to be interviewed or I have made some chats to someone who was his agent, and it didn't really go through. My guess is he made a couple of changes to his batting, but I do think the change in the batting order was a big difference. Of once he started batting around that 5 and 6 position, he batted with a freedom he just never batted with at the top. And I don't know what that is and how that mindset changed, but there's no doubt that that suits the way he bats a lot more. I don't want to say he's not technically correct, but he's got a little bit of slogger's gusto, maybe is a way of putting it, you know, and especially in T20 cricket, that sort of number 5, number 6, even number 7 position in a really strong batting lineup is perfect for him. And you bring him in and he can go with that. But certainly it's an incredible valuable player, because if you just need an off spinner when the wicket is turning, or you've got a bunch of left-handers, you've got that. If you need someone to bowl defensive knuckle balls in a bit of a weird way, there aren't many bowlers in the world that do what he does. Again, that's a big advantage. And as a batter, he can bat kind of 5, 6, 7. And I know they're all similar roles, but you know, you can bat him as high as 5 if you want to, and you can push him down as low as 7. And there's no position there that he doesn't suit, right? But we've also seen him for Zimbabwe have to come in when they collapse, right? So yes, you don't want him to bat any higher, but you know that it's not like he can't bat high. As you said, he has batted higher before and he knows how to do that. And we've seen him carry Zimbabwe at times. So there's a lot of versatility in the way that he plays. Utility maybe is the best way of putting it. And because of that, he's kind of always useful.
More than bits and pieces?
Yeah, I think he's a frontline 5, 6, 7. So I think if he could only bat as high as 7, he's probably a bits and pieces player. As you said, he's been a frontline bowler for Zimbabwe at times. I don't know if you want him to be a frontline bowler for Zimbabwe all the time. I would feel more comfortable if him and Ryan Burl were the combined sixth bowler and you could use them when you wanted to use them rather than when you have to use them. The problem for Zimbabwe is they haven't really had that, you know, that strong sort of all-rounder that goes with those players. So it's the three seamers and then the two spinners, and then you use the finger spinners as your sixth bowler when you need them to. But I think at the top level, you'd much prefer him to be the guy that, I'm trying to think of a player, a little bit like how Ravi Jadeja was used at Chennai, right? When everything's in favor, he's going to get great figures for you and use him. And then the days when it's not in favor, maybe he bowls one over when you need him to, and then someone else does the overs. I think that would be his perfect thing. But I think his batting is certainly better than bits and pieces. Maybe not at the IPL level or at the top international level, but certainly at the level below, I think he's a better player than just a bits and pieces player.
Fair enough. And I just want to shed some light on his performances for Zimbabwe. Of course, we mentioned the 8th Player of the Match awards in 2023. But, you know, that game versus Pakistan, the Mr. Bean derby that was brought up earlier, he had a role to play in that one.
Because and then there that's was such also... a niche thing. You have to explain very quickly to the people who don't remember what that is.
Fair enough. So just to let people know, the Mr. Bean derby originates from this time back in the day where there's this doppelganger of Rowan Atkinson, famously Mr. Bean, or that character, who toured Zimbabwe, went from Pakistan, and they thought he was the real deal. And after that, they got super pissed when they found out that this wasn't Mr. Bean. And you need to see the videos of this, right? People are flooding the streets. Everyone is chanting for this guy, and he's, you know, enjoying this moment. He's very, very happy to, you know, come across as the real Mr. Bean. And then Zimbabwe go on and defeat Pakistan in the T20 World Cup. If not for Netherlands, Pakistan would not have made the semis. So yeah, lots of cannon over there. So if you're not aware of these things, go and look it up. But anyway, Sikandar, of course, performed in that game. And then in the World Cup qualifiers, he has been immense. Even though Zimbabwe have not made it to those ODI World Cups, you know, there was this one game, I forget against whom it was. They were like 162 for three with 26 or so overs gone. And they were chasing 316. Sikandar comes in, smacks a 54 ball ton, fastest ever, I believe, for a Zimbabwean cricketer. And they chase down that target in 41 overs. So this is someone who is finishing games as well for Zimbabwe. He's playing many different roles. Like Jared mentioned, he could, you know, bat them out of a chaotic situation and prevent a collapse. Or he could really push the accelerator when the time comes. And there's no surprise over here that in the last year, he was nominated for ODI Player of the Year, T20I Player of the Year, and also the Garfield Sobers Trophy. He doesn't even play Test cricket regularly, and he was nominated for that trophy. That's incredible.
Yeah, I think it justified that there was a lot of sort of nerdy people like us that had been talking about him, and I think for major people, like they were just like, why is everyone going on about this guy? And you're like, well, you have to see what he is doing game after game. And the IPL selection, I think, really helped with that. Certainly the Mr. Bean game and a few of his performances in that World Cup. You know, I should say the Pac Bean game, isn't it? It's not Mr. Bean game. That's unfair to Rowan Atkinson. I think a few of his performances did really got him a little bit more fame, notoriety. But he was still... I think people are still discounting him as a Zimbabwean player. And then once the IPL come along and they're just like, no, this is like a proper player. And as you know, he's played in the PSL and played in other leagues around the world. It really was a transformation. And you would expect that the transformation he had, you would expect to happen between the age of 28 and 33. The fact that it happened after 33 is another, it's probably testament to how much of his changes are mental. And, you know, how smart he is as a cricketer and as a person, how much he's, you know, completely changed his game. But yeah, it's a fantastic effort to be able to do that. And then once the ICC are giving you that sort of notification and, you know, that sort of, you know, backing, I think it shows that this wasn't just a plucky guy doing it against terrible teams. We started to realize that there was, you know, something special was going on here. And, you know, Colin Miller is a player that probably comes to mind. You know, we don't see many stories like this of kind of fringy players who hang around for a while and aren't thought to be all that good, who suddenly break out, you know, over the age of 33. It's a very random thing to have happen. You know, it's different if you're talking about a player like Rangana Harath, who was stuck behind Murali, or Jimmy Anderson, who was still a good cricketer and then came through. You're talking about here about a fringe player who Zimbabwe thought they were going to move on from, who's gone on to be one of the best players in the world. And that just doesn't happen.
What about Devin Conway? Is that a better
Well, Devin Conway goes into the pattern I was talking about before. That's a guy who kind of leaves South Africa before he reaches his peak age, right? Gets to New Zealand around his peak age. Probably mindset and the you know, different background, you know, fresh start. You know, we talk about this in professional sporting clubs all the time. Sometimes you just need to leave the place you are and start again, you know, to do that. So the Devin Conway one is surprising because he went from zero to 100, but the age at which he did it is much more normal, right? This is this is a little bit different. And, you know, maybe Stuart Clark is another player you could throw out there. Although I think even his was probably more towards that peak age curve, but a little bit later than most when most bowlers develop.
Ryan Harris? What about Ryan Harris?
As I said, Stuart Clark. Ryan Harris might be another one. But again, when I talk to people from South Australian cricket, they were still thinking Ryan Harris was fantastic. They didn't know how it would translate to international cricket, and they had a lot of other, well, to professional cricket, and they had a lot of other players around at that time. Zimbabwe didn't have a lot of other players around. And Sikander was not a player. So Devin Conway was a player that was hyped up behind the scenes. And people were like, how is this guy not good? He should be good. Ryan Harris was someone who in Adelaide domestic cricket just was incredible. And in the nets, no one could ever hit him. The difference with Sikander Raza is that it kind of comes from nowhere because he's around. He's there. He's had opportunities. He's a not just a professional cricketer, but he's an international quality cricketer. Most people, if you followed Zimbabwe cricket, knew who he was. You know, his name had certainly come up a fair bit in my career before. To go from that kind of player who really, if he doesn't play another game after the age of 32, we would have thought of him as a bits and pieces average player who never quite made the most of his skill. Those sorts of players at the age of 36, 37 don't get nominated for major awards, right? Like that is that is a real step up. And if you look at Colin Miller and him, both of them did it by kind of having late career bowling changes. But the thing with Sikander Raza is that I would say he's a better batter, runner between wickets, fielder and bowler now than he was 3 or 4 years ago. Very rare do you see a player make that many changes over the age of 32.
Yeah, I mean, his transformation into this extremely valuable white ball asset that he is today has been, you know, beyond remarkable, really. It's a great story. And the fact that he's landed all of these gigs in franchise cricket and continues to do so, this guy plays all of them, right? The T10s, the PSLs, the IPLs. Sikander Raza doesn't let any one of those things go. And I feel, and I think I read this in your piece as well, that another reason because of, you know, why he's so sought after now is that he's an intelligent cricketer. And there's that IPL game, remember, for Punjab, where he hit that last ball for 3 runs and all of a sudden, Indian Premier League was, you know, aware of the fact that Sikander Raza, you know, belongs.
Look, I don't think he has a choice because he's not the most naturally gifted player. Like, I think, I remember having this conversation with another player once where they said that when we talk about naturally gifted players in cricket, we're usually being unfair because we never say that patience is a natural gift. But, you know, Craig Brathwaite is born with more patience than other players, unless he's facing off-spin. You know, will knock the ball around for hours and whatever. That is a skill, right? And being able to read the ball out of the hand is a skill, but understanding how you're being set up by a bowling captain is also a skill, right? And all these things. But if you look at Sikander Raza, he's not an above average batting talent. He doesn't see the ball earlier like AB de Villiers, right? He doesn't have incredible sharp foot movement like, you know, Babar Azam or a Virat Kohli or those sorts of levels of players. I'm not sure outside of his lack of his fearlessness. I'm not sure if he has an elite skill of when watching him bat. But the fearlessness makes up for a lot of that. But as you said, his intelligence makes up for a lot of that. And his cricket intelligence, I think, is very, very high.
On a scale of one to Ashwin.
Yeah, I mean, it's on that scale. I don't think he's quite at the Ashwin scales. I think Ashwin is a supervillain or superhero. No, supervillain, actually. Supervillains are usually smart.
Anti-hero.
Yeah. Well, smart. Anti-hero. I mean, superheroes aren't that smart, generally, are they? They're just, like, freakishly talented. But, you know, Ashwin is a supervillain. So if Ashwin's a 10, he's, like, an 8.5. And I don't think Sikandar Raza would pretend to be on that kind of a level. I think that Ashwin could probably... I think most cricketers in the world would struggle to have a really good conversation with Ashwin because I think he's thinking on such an advanced level. But I think that Sikandar Raza is always thinking and always improving. And I think that's the other part of it. Of there are a lot of cricketers in the world that are a lot more naturally gifted, who see the ball earlier than him, that play with a more technically correct way, who are bowl, you know, a better stock ball and all these sorts of things. They don't have all the other skills that he has. Right, perseverance, patience, work ethic, intelligence. And it's very rare to have an athlete that has all of those things at such a high level that he does. And so his ability to put all that together, and I've never worked with him ever had a conversation with him. So a lot of this is secondhand, but teams, coaches like him, right? Because, you know, there's that famous Australian coach once who said that there was a couple of young players in the team and they were like, well, they can both bat. They don't give us anything else. They're not particularly good in the field. They're not really talking us through what we need to do. They don't have a lot of confidence. They, you know, they don't speak up, all these different things. I think if you get a Sikandar Raza in your team, you have someone who will speak up. We know that he's more than happy to say the difficult things. You know that he's thinking at all times of how to make himself a better cricketer. He's probably trying to copy shots and techniques from other players because we know that he does that as well. All these different things, all that different, you start to layer that together and you realize what a weird talent he is, right? It's not a straightforward cricket talent. And those sorts of players quite often do come together a little bit later because every time he was playing cricket, from whatever age it was, I'll talk about Gareth Batty. Gareth Batty said to me that he, up until the age of 28, 29, I think it was, Gareth Batty got by on natural talent and being a fairly decent athlete, right? And then Gareth Batty was still playing into his 40s. And he said everything he put on top of that was all the lessons of professionalism, of work ethic, of like watching a young kid come in and do something in the gym and Gareth Batty going, well, I have to be better than him, right? Otherwise, that will give them an excuse to get rid of me because I'm now 34 and I'm now 36 and I'm now 38 and I'm going to have to do this. And all those little things of putting together that sort of stuff. But most people, their athleticism falls apart, right? So some players will tell you at the age of 33, 34, they're at the best they've ever been, but they don't see the ball as quickly anymore. Their feet don't move as quickly. They can't bowl as fast as they used to. Their back is gone. Their knee is gone, whatever. So Sikandar Raza has managed to combine the intelligence of an older athlete with still the flexibility and the fitness of a younger athlete. And that's the sort of thing that maybe had he played a higher level of cricket more often when he was younger, his body would have been churned out by now, right? I don't know, but it really is. He plays, the best way of putting it is he plays like someone who has constantly been learning things, right? But with a body that still allows him to use those skills.
Yeah, I mean, that was a beautiful monologue. Anyone who listened in on that is really, really lucky. And I think your points about him upskilling throughout, I've also heard he's a joy to be around in the dressing room. Really, really positive.
That's what I mean. Coaches like it. People like having him around. And people get really pissy about this in cricket. Because remember the whole KP thing of like, you know, hey, he's the most talented player and, oh, you know, we can get rid of whatever. Anyone who's ever worked in an office knows that if there's 15 people around you in an office, or in cricket case, 20, 25 people, you're not going to like all of them, right? And the person who makes your life easier, and if he can do that across different friendship groups, they are so important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, he's lifted the PSL with the Lahore Qalandars. He made quite an impression for the Punjab Kings at the IPL. I'm not even sure what else he's won around the T20 franchise circuit. He's probably won something else as well. So let us know in the comments or whatever. And then he's been Zimbabwe's best player for more than half a decade now. It's not even like recent news. This has been going on for a fair bit. Is this the most spectacular transformation we've seen in recent times?
I mean, it's up there. You know, cricket's got some great stories of, you know, players like Bernard Bosanquet, the googly inventor, is a great one. I think it's K or Key, but Bernard Bosanquet. I always forget how to pronounce his name. you know, and then you've got, you know, Jack Iverson John Gleeson. As I said, Colin Miller's.
You're talking about all mystery
spinners, but also people who work something out late in their life. Colin Miller, who's not quite a mystery spinner, but again, came up with a weird way of bowling off spin that he bowled it quicker than everyone else.
Also owning a hotel in Vegas.
I don't think he owns it. I think he's the manager, but he's certainly involved with a lot.
Still counts.
It's something you don't see as much in batting, right? Even if you look at guys like, you know,
Hafiz, maybe Hafiz when he started hitting sixes in T20s.
Yeah, but again, that's the sort of thing that's a bit more common, right? Of that sort of player who's around who knows that they might need to evolve with the times a little bit.
And discovers golf.
Yeah, and you know, so Sonnen Narine suddenly hitting sixes and that sort of stuff. All those players, though, either had a mystery thing, as you said, or come from a higher, like Mohammed Hafiz is a really good player. Right? We maybe didn't even see the best of him in international cricket. Sikandar, you look at early Sikandar Raza, he's just not that good a player. I just don't think you can go back and look at old footage of him like I have and make the claim that, oh, suddenly, you know, he tweaked his front elbow and he's a better player and he's worked out this. He's just improved. He's gone from a level of player who was a fringe player on a very poor team to being a star player on an improving team. And then good enough to go in the IPL. Yeah, I don't know. There's always there's players like Mohammad Siraj and Harris Ralph who sort of come who get picked from nowhere, right? You know, heaps of Sri Lankan seamers. We've seen that from before. But again, that is a trope. We see that trope again and again. What we don't really see is the fringe player who manages to improve every part of their game in their late 30s. When they weren't particularly a good player in their mid-20s or late-20s. And I'm sure I'm missing someone. You know, I mean, Daryl Mitchell's rise has been remarkable, right? And Kyle Jameson's rise is quite interesting as well. But again, they're within the margins of error. The thing with Sikandar Raza is his rise doesn't actually make sense. There isn't another trope of another player really improving so many different facets of his game at one time. And going he hasn't gone from... If you want to look at this on levels, right, he was a level two international player before. Above an associate level player, but at the very bottom tier of a test playing nation player. And he's gone to like level eight, level nine in white ball, right? Like that just, that's mind boggling. He almost wasn't on the ladder and to go that high up. And it really isn't something that you see all that often.
HCL Tech brings you this show, and they're the only ones who love data, well, more than I do.
That's really, really true. And when you put it that way, I don't think we've seen a journey quite like Sikandar's. And Jared, how incredible is this journey of Sikandar Raza? But when you take into context the fact that it coincided with arguably the darkest period in Zimbabwe cricket history.
The one unknowable thing is, if Zimbabwe cricket had got their act together 5 or 10 years earlier, does he just develop normally and we're not having this conversation? I don't know.
True.
I don't know if that's the case or not. But what I will say is that in the middle of his run, Ryan Burl takes to Twitter and says, we don't have cricket boots. We are literally gluing our shoes together because Zimbabwe cricket won't help us in getting access to regular cricket shoes. We know that he wasn't paid. We know that no objection certificates weren't given to him. We know that he wasn't backed by you know the Zimbabwe cricket structure as it was at that time. We should say that Dave Houghton probably plays a big part in this. I know Dave Houghton comes on late, but certainly completely backs Sikandar Raza at that point to be who he is, right? But maybe if that happened earlier or a coach like Dave Houghton had come in earlier, that would have been a little bit different. But the fact that he did manage to do it from that, I think makes it even more remarkable, right? Like if his rise had happened after Zimbabwe cricket kind of got their act together, you'd be like, ah, oh, well, that's just that. But the fact he did it in the dark times and then got even better, I think it's a testament to there. One of my favorite genres of cricket are self-made cricketers, right? It would be very hard to argue this is not a self-made cricketer. Of like, he's like an S-tier self-made cricketer. Like, he's right at the top of that heap.
He epitomizes the self-made
cricketer. Exactly. Like, you know, you put him up there with someone like Bryce McGain or someone who completely came from outside the system, right? And I know in some ways Sikandar didn't come from outside the system, but I think his improvement did. And I think the cricketer he became really came from outside that system. And he really did, he built himself step by step.
Come to think of it, I have a lot of common ground with Sikandar Raza Bhatt, you know, both born in Pakistan, both engineers. Both went on to become nationals of another country.
How old are you?
All of that. So if I started working in cricket later in life, I'm
when you hit 33, you call me and we'll see, and we'll start to mark your progress.
Absolutely. And Sikandar, if you're watching this, and you might be because you liked my tweet the other day as well, and you like Jared's tweets, so when you see the title of this podcast, you might very well be listening to this. Anyway,
honestly,
all things said and done.
I did reach out a couple of years ago. I haven't reached out recently. I would love to get him on the podcast. I do think this is one of the more interesting journeys. And the problem is that we've said all these positive things, but because Zimbabwe cricket's just literally fallen over again, I don't want it to be forgotten. Because there are life lessons to be learned from Sikandar Raza. There are cricket lessons to be learned as well. Yeah. And I don't think... I haven't seen anywhere where he's just sat down for an hour and just taken everyone through how the hell all this happened.
That's true. And actually, Mohammad Assam recently reached out to me and he asked me if I was interested in interviewing him. But then he got knocked out of the qualifier. So I was like, probably not the best time to talk to Sikandar. He's probably heartbroken. But hey, if you're listening to this, come talk to us, Sikandar. We'd love to talk to you. And Jared, before we end this, all things said and done, right? Sikandar Raza Bhatt is 37 years of age. Like you mentioned, he peaked later in life. And while he's an extremely valuable white ball cricketer as things stand, he's probably not S-tier, right? He's not at that top or highest level or whatever. And in internationals in particular, given that Zimbabwe continues to fail to qualify for these big events and they treat him as their frontline batter and bowler on occasion, you know, where does his career go from here? Does he just become one of those players who quits international cricket and keeps playing franchise? Or do you see him sticking around and, you know, trying to make another World Cup?
I mean, he stuck around with Zimbabwe cricket for so long. It kind of feels like he will stick around with them, won't he? Look, I just hope... I would like to see him back in another World Cup for Zimbabwe. We're hoping his body stays up and he can keep doing the things that he's been doing over the last couple of years and being able to do that. But more importantly now, I think he's put his heart on the line for Zimbabwe cricket over a long period of time. Yeah. Man needs to get paid, right? He has upskilled himself at a late period in life. I want him just to get as many checks as possible from here on in till the end. You know, there are some cricketers where I'm like, I think we need to pension this guy off and stop paying him in these franchise leagues. If he gets an extra 18 months of franchise leagues based on his reputation, I'd be more than happy with that because I think he deserves it.
Yeah, I mean, given how long cricketers continue to play franchise cricket these days, and now that you have T10 and Legends League and all of these things, I hope that, you know, like you, that Sikandar Raza Bhatt gets to make bank. But I also really, really wish that he gets some sort of happy moments in the Zimbabwean jersey because he really deserves them. He's, you know, worn his heart on his sleeve. He's constantly upskilled. He seems like a fantastic bloke. And now he's good enough that we're doing a dedicated podcast on him. And he deserves this. He deserves this limelight.
No, there's no doubt. I think the amount of crap he's put up with Zimbabwe cricket shows you how much he wants to represent them, what they mean to him. And so I think he deserves, you know, and the T20 World Cup in Australia was a little bit of a limelight. I think he deserves at least one more go with them, you know, to prove to everyone where he is. I mean, I don't know, man. He might make the next 50 over World Cup because, you know, who knows when he's actually ever going to go on the slide.
Yeah, and I mean, his fitness looks good and it's not like Zimbabwe have ready-made replacements for Sikandar Raza Bhatt, right?
Well,
it's not
like,
that guy will come and fill in his shoes.
We haven't talked about this, but like he would just have slotted into the Australian team. As talented as the Australian team are, he would have been a perfect player. He also he bats the way they want their guys to bat. He would have taken a lot of pressure off Maxwell in that World Cup having him in that side. Mm-hmm. Certainly, you know, a better option than Cameron Green or Marcus Stoinis at the moment in that side. Then there are plenty of teams that would have used him. He could have been a really handy player for New Zealand. You know, we are talking about a proper player here who could have played in a lot of teams around the world.
Yeah, and I mean, sure, Alexander the Great conquered a lot of the world, but Sikandar Razabat is on his way to at least light up the franchise T20 circuit, because I can see him land consistent gigs in the PSL and all of the other leagues that are not the IPL. I hope that he gets a couple of more seasons in the IPL as well, because he's definitely good enough to be competing at that level. Whether or not he's the best player in the IPL, not saying that, but he's good enough to be competing at that level for sure.
No, definitely.
Yeah, and I think that wraps it up. If you guys liked this podcast, you know, like, share, subscribe. Go to Jared's other YouTube channel as well. Subscribe to both of those. Thanks for all the love, guys. We'll be back with episode 30 of Footbox next week. That's all for today. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are many other extras as well, including a Discord channel. There's a link to those in the show notes. Please review, subscribe, and tell all your friends about our show. Word of mouth is the best way of making our podcast grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bharat Sundaresan and Bayram Kazi. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston. Each episode is produced by Ishit Kuberka at Sound Potion Studio. The team from 42 help us out with the video side. Orajoti Sainapayan and Maida Akam, both producing podcasts, while Mukunda Bandreddy is the head of our YouTube content. If you are a podcaster who happens to waffle on and you need a way to cut down your long-form content, Memento FM is here to save the day. They turn your lengthy media into bite-sized chunks for even the most time-starved audience. Start using Memento FM today.